in Seattle, Seattle. And you need to buy yourself a home. We'll be right there for you, because we're the realtors that you can trust. So go to RodandConsidDow.com.
Don't go anywhere unless you want to. It's the Ron and Don Show, starring Ron and Don, and sometimes me, at ronanddon.com.
Hey, you guys, what's going on? Welcome to episode 698. Can you believe that? Almost 700 episodes now of the Ron and Don Show, and we are back live in the Les Schwab studio.
What is up, Ron and Don Nation?
Hey, coming up on the Ron and Don Show, Ron has invited us all on a trail run. We'll get to that. Also, Fortune Magazine says that the U.S. housing market is headed into a pivotal spot. What is that pivotal spot? Before we get to that, though, let's get to this. Longevity. Seems like every time you turn on TV or every time you get on social media, somebody that is not a doctor is telling you what to do in order to live a rich, full life. In fact, this has become a $1 trillion a year industry. And it's interesting because a lot of times if you go to your family doctor and you chat with them about longevity, they might have a different view. Ron, I know you've been kind of digging into this, right?
Yeah, I'm curious to get your take on this because we talk about this a lot. And for me, let me just state my goal, and it was influenced by Dr. Peter Attia, and that is the difference between health span and lifespan. So lifespan is just the length of your life. How long do you live in minutes and moments and years? Health span is what is the quality of your health during that time frame. So if you think about it as like a bar graph, and your health is, how high can you keep your health before it starts to plummet and meet the time thing? And obviously when the time graph meets the health graphs, you're dead. And so what I'm trying to do, and I think what you're trying to do, is to maintain the highest possible health that you can for as long as possible. And so this is where it intersects with you and I reading these books and talking about this on the show, of like being open-minded to the fact that maybe regular Western medicine and the way that we have it right now may or may not be optimal to reach that goal. And so what do I mean by that? Well, usually you go to the doctor because you have a symptom and you're like, hey, I have high blood pressure, or I have anxiety, or I, you know, hurt my feet hurt, or whatever it is that causes you to go to the doctor. Then the doctor is going to look at that symptom and respond usually with a test or some medication, and then off you go down that path. Whereas the health span people go, what can we do preemptively to set you up for this greater health? So before you get a symptom, before you go to the doctor, before you need a test, how could we set that up? So as I'm moving down this journey, there's so many supplements and DNA tests and genetic tests and private consultations and things that are very expensive. And they make these promises like, hey, we're going to do a DNA test on you. I'm going to get these 19 markers, and then we're going to customize a health plan for you where you're going to be taking this supplement and these injections and this thing. So it's confusing to me because I want to maximize my health. And at the same time, it's like, do I need a beetroot supplement? Do I need a DNA test? Do I need to get blood work done outside of the blood work that I have with my doctor? What's been your approach to this? Because I think most people, let's take high blood pressure, for instance. There's a way to do it with medicine, and there's a way to do it with lifestyle. Most people, honestly, would not be able to accomplish it with lifestyle changes. And so
I don't agree with that. So, first and foremost, think about who your doctor is, right? My mom had a family doctor forever. He retired. And then when she started going through some health issues in New Mexico, she couldn't find a family doctor there. There's not a lot of doctors there. And the reason there's not a lot of doctors there, it's a very poor state. And to become a doctor, you create a lot of debt for yourself. And to go to a place like New Mexico and work, you're not going to be able to pay off your debt. You're not. And so a lot of times you're dealing with physician's assistants or you're dealing with a nurse, if you're lucky. So she had had a stroke down there over a year and a half ago and didn't have a family physician to help her through that. So I think here in Seattle, it's a little different. And I would have to say a number of years ago, my agent had suggested a doctor to me and I suggested the same doctor to you. He was very unique in that he didn't take on a lot of patients. You could spend an hour with him. I would get the testing done before I would go see him. I would write out all my questions. And when he sat with me, he would open up his computer. And man, we had just a human-to-human connection. And we would talk. And I would talk about being a father. And I would talk about, these were during my radio days. Like, we would have this great conversation. And then we would go through everything, including sticking something in my butt, getting completely naked. I've had skin cancer now cut out of me 3 times. And he would basically, with a microscope, go over my body. And the last time I met with him, he had found skin cancer on my back, sent me to a specialist. They had it tested. And they're like, yeah, we gotta cut this out. So I have a big scar on my back now from it. And I have one on my face in another place. So I really appreciated him practicing that kind of medicine. Fast forward, and this, I'm not afraid to say it, I was going to the polyclinic. The polyclinic got bought. He left. He will tell you the reason that he left is to go take care of his ailing parents. The real reason he left, because I know him, and that's why I'm not using his name, the real reason he left is they wouldn't let him practice medicine like that anymore. So I wasn't allowed to get my testing done ahead of time, which is really helpful. It sucks, man. When you go see the doctor, you get all that testing and then they just put it out on a chart and you open it up and you don't know what any of it means. And you've already met with the doctor, right? And you're like, and if you want to get him on the phone, they'll charge you for that. Or if you want to go over those test results, they'll charge you for that. So my doctor now, he wouldn't put anything in my butt. He didn't even have me take off my clothes. He didn't look at my skin knowing that I've had skin cancer in my past. He didn't make me open my mouth. He didn't look in my ears. I love when Radar O'Reilly is given the colonel his yearly physical, and he looks into Colonel Blake's ear, and he goes, ooh, it looks like a little nativity scene in there. Love that. Anyway, back to the present day. I love MASH, 1977, I think that episode was. So anyway, it's. I did the testing. I had 10 minutes. They sent me a note saying there won't be time to answer all your questions. So please ask a question or two of things that you're concerned about. And that was it. And I remember talking to him about my blood pressure, and I get something called white coat blood pressure. When I go to a doctor's office or I go to a hospital, my blood pressure goes through the roof. And the reason it does is because when I was little, my father lived in a hospital for 3 years. He fell off a truck. He broke his back. He had probably a dozen different operations. That's where his addiction came in, drinking beer, pills, all that stuff. And we would go to the hospital and we would sit there and we'd wait. And I hated it. I hated going to the hospital. It gave me a lot of anxiety. Still does to this day. My blood pressure at home can be absolutely normal. And then when I go to see the doctor, it can jump. The top number can jump by 30. It's incredible. And so I had to read up on that. So I have to say, it was not very satisfying, and this is now my family doctor, and I won't say his, and I like him a lot, and he's very nice and great. I started asking him about some of the longevity questions and taking vitamins and all that stuff, just kind of taking preventative measures. And he did say this. He's like, that's the best thing that you can do. Because he said the majority of people could get off certain types of medication, but they won't. And the thing that I love that he did say is a lot of the medications that we're giving you isn't going to fix anything. It's just kind of dealing with your symptoms. In order to fix things, you have to have a complete lifestyle change. And people aren't willing to do that. Right. They're not willing to change their diet.
That's what I meant to say.
They're not willing.
We agree there.
They're not willing to do any of that stuff. So my current doctor was very supportive of that. But then he said, hey, if you want to get your skin checked, and then they sent me somewhere where it was $2,000 to go get my skin checked. So a big conglomerate now owns this hospital. They just want to send you to go get tests. They make lots of money on those tests. And if you want a CT scan or any of that, they're all about it. But as far as doing preventative medicine, I just don't see a lot of healthcare professionals do that, Ron. And even the ones that want to do it, they don't have the time because they can't take an hour with you. They have 10, 15 minutes, and then it's on to the next patient. It's amazing when you go to the polyclinic, all the infrastructure is gone. The person that greets you is, everyone is gone. You walk in there and there's no one in that building. And I thought it was because of COVID. It's basically you go in, you see the doctor, maybe there's a nurse in there, but everything else has been gutted by AI.
Educate yourself on this, or are you on your journey? Because I think a lot of people are dealing with this right now. Like, you want to, it's expensive if you bought every supplement or did every test outside of your
insurance.
You know what's
more expensive is a stroke.
Right.
You know what's more expensive is a heart attack. So I think what you have to do is and it's difficult for you because you're adopted, right? And your birth mother who you met has passed on. And I don't know what the situation is with your father. And I don't mean to, your birth father. I know what the situation is with your dad, with Bob, and he's doing great. He and Alice are thriving down in Florida. Hi, Alice. Hi, Bob. Really proud of the way that Bob has bounced back with everything that he's been through, and you've shared publicly that he's gone through a stroke. Not your birth father. My dad, 3 heart attacks and Parkinson's, right? So I know that. I look on my aunt's side, my mom, lots of dementia, Parkinson's. She died a pretty horrible death. I look at their lifestyles, though. Lots of partying, lots of smoking, lots of drinking, lots of sitting. And so for me, I don't know that I can I look at my little sister, died at 43 of ALS. She never had a drink in her life, right? And she did exercise. She used to come to my spin classes. I think you can do everything right, and there's no guarantees. And I don't even know that there's lots of guarantees about prolonging your life. But the point that you just made, I don't every day when I did it again yesterday when I got out of my truck with my son to go to the gym, I walk right by Aegis, and yesterday ambulance pulled up and they wheeled someone out of there. And my son looked at me and he goes, "Daddy, your Uncle George is right." He goes, "They just pulled up the meat wagon."
Wow.
No, real quick though. I you signaled for a break. I don't want to take a break. Where are you on this journey? And do you believe in family history and preventative medicine?
Of course.
That's my concern.
I think I'm very open-minded to the notion of optimizing health plan and not just responding to symptoms. What I'm trying to do is find the signal from the noise. You know, you listen to, it's like you said, I asked my family doctor and she was like, "Hey, I can't physically keep up with all of that stuff."
Yeah. No one can.
She goes, I'm worried seeing patients every day when it trickles into the medical literature and the journals that I read.
Yeah.
Cause she reads medical journals. She's
sure.
She's like, then I pay attention to it, but I can't comment on, you know, this particular guy or that particular podcast or this particular supplement. She goes, it's impossible. She goes, I have to live my life as well. So I respect that. So what I'm trying to do is find the signal from the noise and go, I'm open to building some kind of regimen of like, these are going to be my supplements. These are going to be my habits to optimize X, Y, or Z.
Yeah.
And what I'm trying to figure out is, okay, do I need to spend $600 on a genetic test to figure out what my DNA is? Do I need to, you know, go do my own set of labs and just pay for it out of pocket to get some sort of insight into what I should be doing day to day? That's the confusion for me. And I feel for people where it's like, dude, I can't afford that. I can't afford even buying Whole Foods. We talked about this I was running late, and normally I would have pulled into a fast food place. So, like, I'm doing better than that now.
Awesome.
I popped into PCC. I got one chicken breast.
Yeah.
Nothing else. No side, no drink. Just they put it, took the grilled chicken breast, put it in a box, handed it to me. It was $12.
Yeah.
So I was like, what if I had a wife and three kids and I'm trying to grab a chicken breast? Am I going to spend $70 to get chicken breasts?
Crazy.
Like, for one meal with no sides and no drink? So, I'm trying to be, when we do the podcast, give out information that hopefully will inspire people to increase their health span, but also do it in a responsible way to realize that not everyone has an unlimited budget to go buy this stuff.
I spend a lot of money on food in this house. They say to shop the outer ring, and we do. You can eat processed food, but not ultra-processed food. Ultra-processed food is just toxic, and it'll kill you. And as we get older, especially as men, we have to pay attention to how much alcohol we consume, why we're consuming it, because it's fun to a point, but we're not 24 or 34 anymore. We're just not. So the days of, you know, having 30 drinks in a week and binge drinking and going to the ball games and all. Because when you start adding it up, you're like, wow, that's a lot of drinking. But I will say, if you look at my son, for instance, and you've watched him, it's been 13 months. You've seen him transform. He actually hasn't grown much taller. And people say, well, you grow out of something. He hasn't grown out of something. He is just exercise, right? Preventative medicine. And then his diet is very, very different. We eat, and it doesn't mean that there wasn't a bag of chips in his lunch yesterday, because there was, because I put him in there. Because I don't want, and I've learned this from you, food's not good or bad, right? There shouldn't be a stigma on that. Once every week, I'll throw some candy in there.
This could be every day for every meal.
Yeah, I'll throw some candy in there to share with a friend. But for the most part, we really, like last night when we're eating and we're watching Tom Brady not explain why he smashed his phone and legacy. We're eating whole foods, right? We're eating spinach. We're eating whole carrots. We're eating whole raspberries. But you know what was mixed in there? A smash burger. We will see you on the other side of this. Hey guys, Ron and Don here for Les Schwab. You know, when it comes to your safety, your family's safety on the road, Les Schwab, well, they have you covered. Yeah. Les Schwab tires, wheels, brakes, batteries, alignment, steering, suspension, everything they sell and service is focused on your safety. Plus, they want to save you a lot of money. Now, right now, during the Les Schwab spring tire sale, you can save up to $80 instantly when you purchase a set of four select tires, plus $50 with Les Schwab financing for a total of $130. Stop by or book your appointment at LesSchwab.com. That's LesSchwab.com. That's Les Schwab. Doing the right thing since when? 1952. All right, so this is how real estate works. I'm at a Seahawks game, and I'm watching the Seahawks win the Super Bowl, and I'm in my friend George's seat, and I'm sitting next to my friend Mike Martin. Known Mike now over a decade. He calls me the other day, says, hey, I got a tech friend. He's in Hawaii, owned a property in Green Lake. He's going to fix it up. He went to Hawaii, said, I'm never going home. So he's had this rental now for 10 years. His name is Jude. So Mike puts me in touch with Jude. Jude calls me and says, hey, I got to sell this house. I call Scotty. We go over the house, and this house has a foundation problem. It has a roof problem. It has lots of problems. And in order to fix this house and bring it to market, it's going to take about $100,000, and then the house is going to be worth about $925,000. Anyway, there's a builder that Jude knows that says, hey, well, I'll give you $835,000. And then there's a neighbor that says, hey, I'll give you $850,000. And then what I did is I got on the phone with one of my builder friends, because again, I don't like seeing homes torn down, but there's some that have to be torn down when they have bad foundations, right? And this is a home that has to come down. This builder said, you know what? I'll pay $1,060,000 for that particular house. So, case closed. There are builders right now paying more for properties than people are willing to pay when they step in and say, wow, this thing has a bad foundation. This thing is still in oil. This has a bad roof. There's a lot of work to do here. So while many homes I like to see restored, some can't be, right? So when you need us, if you have a piece of property, if you have an old home, it has a bad leaky roof, lots of deferred maintenance, call us. because sometimes the best thing to do is to fix it up and bring it to market if you have the funds to do so. And sometimes the best thing to do is to create a new property and reimagine it. Because guess what? Here in Seattle, yeah, there's not a lot of property just laying around. So when you need us, whether it's wholesale, retail, investing, buying, selling, let's sit down. RonandDonSitDown.com. All right, you guys, welcome back to the Ron and Don Show. As you know, we do this podcast, and then we also are real estate agents and brokers. This Friday, in fact, we just recorded it. Before we recorded this, we have a young woman stopping by the name of Mackenzie Sorich. She's a family law attorney that specializes in wills, living trusts, what to do if you have a reverse mortgage, what to do if someone passed away and there's not a power of attorney. What does probate mean? Why do things fall into probate? How do you keep a house out of probate, for instance? What can go into a living trust? What can't? Make sure you listen to Friday's show. It's episode 701. It is great, great information, wasn't
it? This is some grown-up stuff. So, like, when it comes time to make these tough conversations, Mackenzie's very smart, very good at what she does, and really explains things in a great way. And a lot of people listening right now think, Ron and Don, I only have one house. I don't need a trust. I'm good. I got a will. You're not good. I think after you listen to this episode, you'll go, wow. There's a lot I didn't know, and a lot has changed in the tax code, and a lot has changed in Seattle specifically with the type of real estate valuations that we have, where even if you just have one house, you should probably think about a family trust.
Yeah, and then she's really good explaining 1031 exchanges versus if you have a primary house, what kind of capital gains you have to pay and what kind of capital gains you don't have to pay. So make sure you listen to episode 701. Mackenzie Sorich, really, really good, you guys. Speaking of real estate, let's talk about real estate. I wrote something on my Facebook page last week, and it was about the title, and we talked about this last week, that Seattle real estate has gone up 14% year over year. I looked at it today, and it's like it has like a quarter of a million impressions. It went viral for some reason. I don't know why, but if you want to read it, it's on my Facebook page. Just go to Don O'Neill and you can find it. It's kind of interesting. I was reading another article this week along with that that said that the U.S. housing market is kind of at a pivotal road. And the thought is what's happening in Florida right now is going to happen around the country, and that housing is going to get more affordable. If you don't know what's happening in Florida right now, the springboard has sprung there. There's a lot of properties that are for sale, and it's driving housing down, right? It's driving prices down. Typically, what you have is in any economic cycle, along when housing is cycling down, because a lot of times housing can take us in and out of a recession. It's the first one to go in. It's the first thing to come out. And so people are beginning to wonder, is this soft landing recession that we've talked about? And believe it or not, economies go through recessions. They always do. Real estate agents, in some ways, we hope for them. Not that it hurts people, but it can make housing more affordable because it does take some houses sometimes that people don't want to sell, and it forces them to bring those houses to market. So there's more houses to exchange, and right now we're not seeing that in the Northwest. I think what's happening in Florida, we may see in other parts of the country where they don't have water and they don't have tech. Here in Seattle, it's a microclimate, and we're not seeing that. In fact, my neighborhood in the last 90 days, one of my properties went up, according to Zillow, $62,000. We currently have clients that are staying in some of my Airbnbs, and we are writing offers. We're waiving contingencies, putting lots of money down. We're really writing incredible offers, the kind of offers that you had to write during COVID when money was so cheap. And we haven't been able to land those houses, right? And I'm not seeing things go over hundreds of thousands of dollars, but some of my friends in North Seattle are, and on the east side they are. I have a friend up in North Seattle. He just sold 5 homes. He prices them on the cheap side to escalate. So all those homes, so you can go on social media and brag, have all gone up about $200,000. $100,000 in there because you priced it so cheap. Another $80,000 to $100,000 because there is competition back in the marketplace. We saw interest rates go up and then they ticked down last night to 6.3%. And what we're finding out, Ron, is people who've wanted to buy a home or sell a home have come to realize, as you always say, that money is supposed to cost something. And right now it costs 6.3%. People are more comfortable with that. Because they understand that 2.8 ain't coming back anytime soon. And so we're seeing buyers especially enter the marketplace. They say if interest rates get down to about 5, then we might see sellers step in. But here where there's a lot of water, and if you want to build, you got to tear something down, which is very, very expensive to do. You have builders in certain parts of the city that are paying over $1 million for a 3,000 or 4,000 square foot lot so they can try to jam 2 homes or ADUs on that lot. What's happening here in Seattle is very different than what we see happening in Florida right now.
I agree. That's why I always say when you read these national stories, and I'm not saying don't read them, but when you read them, recognize that that doesn't necessarily apply to our marketplace in the Pacific Northwest. That's why you do a Ron and Don sit down. That's why you call us and we are going to talk about what your goals are, because expectation and reality are very important in the real estate game. You can believe whatever you want to believe about your property and how to buy a house, but when reality can just smack you upside the head when you try to execute that plan. So I agree with you on that point that in the sixes. Well, think about this as well. If you're in the six range for your interest rate and you were going to escalate on a house anyway, you could take that cash and buy down a point on your interest rate and you could possibly land in the fives. And so it's going to save you significant money every single month on your monthly payment. And it's not that far out of the range of what we saw in the escalation. So there's a lot of tricks that we can put in the bag in order to manipulate what your loan is going to be, manipulate the price that you're going to pay. And so those are the advanced strategies are winning right now, unless someone just comes in with a complete bag of cash and throws it at someone. You have to have some sophistication in this marketplace because, like you said, there's just not a lot of inventory. I'm starting to see builders build again. Like you said, we're starting to see builders buy lots again. Even if so, a builder bought a lot right now, they're probably 12 months away from tearing that thing down and building multiple units. So we
have years away from seeing that door.
Yeah, we have a lag time where builders hit the pause button, and we're still, that's another overlay on this market right now. Stuff that would have been coming online right now is not because those builders didn't build it.
And I'm amazed the cheap materials that they use and the money that they get for these houses. Especially there's a certain California builder, and I see their homes in my neighborhood, and then I see them 5 years later after they've been sitting. They don't weather well, so we'll see you on the other side.
Don here with Mitch Weeks. You know him as Mitch.Loans. Mitch, let's be honest, interest rates have been higher than they have been for the past couple of years, but we're still seeing inventory. We're still seeing sales. What is happening right now? If I just want to be a standard every day, I want to buy a house. Maybe it's my first house.
Well, if it's your first house, there's still a lot of great products for first-time homebuyers. You can put as little as 3% down. Often, with a little more negotiating now, you can also get a seller to buy down some of those costs that have come with being a first-time homebuyer. And it's a great time to buy. Honestly, rent is 100%, as we've talked about. You're giving all your money to the landlord. Even if you're paying 8%, that is 92% better than what you're paying with rent.
It is. So Mitch can help you out if you're a first-time buyer. You can go ahead and just go to Mitch.loans, talk to him, figure out if you qualify for one of these programs, and then start your real estate journey. You're not going to regret looking back in 5 or 10 years and going, wow, I could have bought in 2023. Why didn't I do that? So stop waiting, get in the game, go to Mitch.loans.
All right, you guys, welcome back to the Ron and Don Show. It's kind of interesting. I got an invitation from Ron the other day. Usually I'm sending out these invitations, and I got an invitation that you would like to trail race our friend Scotty, myself, and my son. I told my son about this race. He wanted to know how much money was on the line.
Wow.
He is now training.
Are you guys going to run?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, oh, nice.
Yeah. As soon as I told him it was a race. He did his first 5 mile race trail run a couple months ago during the holidays. We did the reindeer run. He did pretty well. It's a 5 mile trail race out at the Redmond Watershed. So he's excited about this one. And I was watching him train last night. I don't think I could keep up with him anymore. Like he's a bat out of hell, man. And I'm seeing him on the treadmill yesterday, turn it up to 10. And I'm waiting for him to turn it down and walk. He turned it down to 9. That dude could scoot, man. I mean, he at 13, he found his gear. So anyway, what is the race? Where are we running? And you better be training, man. You better kick it up to 10 because he's going to be ready to go.
I don't mind losing a wager to your son because I will definitely lose. I've already done my treadmill work at the gym before we recorded today.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So, and I was toggling it to 7.7. So almost
did you get
to 8.
7.7?
Yeah. So, I'm not at 10. I would do like an interval training of 90 seconds off, 30 seconds on, and then
7.7? You could go 90 seconds?
No.
Calling bullshit.
I'm doing the 30 seconds at 7.7.
Okay.
And then I did a minute at 7.7 and then back to 3.5.
Dude, that's really
good.
That's good.
So I'm training on that. But so here's the thing. We talked about this before with me. I've unlocked that for me to do something, I need another human there and I need it on my calendar. So as I've been, I was spending my time thinking about my week. I saw this race. It's over in Bridal Trails. I think and by the time this show ends, probably like in the weekend, and I'm going to do the five. Are you guys going to do 5K or 10K? Because the 5 mile one would be 10K. I'm not ready for a 10K.
Okay.
So I'm going to do a 5K. I just want to finish. Like if your son wants to quote unquote race me, I know that he'll win right now, and I don't mind that if he wants to put that feather in his cap.
You should be punished by a 13-year-old.
Of course,
I'm punished every day.
And so. But yeah, so it's a five. I'm doing the 5K. They have a 10K. I believe they have a half marathon and a marathon.
What's the name of the? I know you're with Northwest Trail.
I think it's
races.
Northwest Trails Bridal Trails.
Yeah, that's who we run with. Yeah,
run. I just looked it up online of like when something. I wanted to put something on the calendar. Our buddy Charles is going to come.
Awesome.
And so he's like, dude, I'm going to have to walk at times. I'm like, me too.
You know what? Walking is fine.
Yeah. We're going to, go out there and just get it done.
That's great.
So,
so it's a week from this Saturday.
Correct. I think it's, well, by the time this airs, I think it'll be this Saturday when the show drops.
Okay. Yeah. Wow.
That's that'd be fun. You guys should probably, your 5K for you is nothing. Right? Like you can do a 5K in your sleep. So you guys should do the 10K and race each other. And then Charles and I will do the 5K.
I'm not going to race him anymore, I don't think. Like he's starting to get better at everything than I am. And I have to admit, it bites your ego a little bit. Like I heard him playing his guitar in his room last night. I'm like, when did he get so good?
You did not have YouTube when you were growing up to practice guitar.
even so, the commitment to it when so many other things are calling your name. And I would tell parents out there, or even grandparents, the thing that really helps is you can't eliminate screens altogether, and you don't want to, right? Because he doesn't carry books in a book bag like we did. Like we were rucksacking to school every day with
90 pounds of books on your back.
It's good for you though. You think about it. Stayed in great shape. They have a computer. Everything's on the computer. He was getting tutored last night because of the internet. It's a computer on a screen, which is great. Everything's on a computer. So we want them to be proficient and great on a computer. You want them to understand how to use a phone, and they should be able to play games. And in some ways, games sometimes can stimulate the brain and be helpful, especially if you go to war with Russia someday. You can just sit in this very room, and it's amazing what you can do with drones now, right? So here comes the drones and the AI robots and all that. But yeah, I'm at night, no screens. So we watch one thing, and then the TV's off, and then there's no screens for he or I. So I'm riding my spin bike or working out or folding laundry or playing my guitar. And then to hear him go into his room every night and start playing, you're like, it's great. And then he's almost too great. So it's starting to bother me a little bit.
All right. So we're going to lose him in the race and lose to him in guitar. I'm fine
you know
with
what?
That.
I'm really proud you're doing that. Don't worry about anyone else but you and the fact that you're out there and doing it. And even if you walk the whole thing, you will love Northwest Trail Races. You love Gretchen, who runs it. She's usually wearing a funny outfit with a cowbell. And dude, the fact that you're doing that, and you're right, if you put something on the calendar and you make a date with yourself,
you make it public to your friends.
Yeah, you have to show up. And same with Charles, same with myself. And I think that's great. So yeah, if you, my first trail races with them, I was still running, but people were passing me walking, going up hills. So, because I wanted to stay in the mentality that I'm a runner, so I would still be running, but I was so slow they would pass me.
Hey, man, you finished.
Hey, you guys, thanks for listening to this episode of the Ron and Don Show. We appreciate it. Don't forget, if you need tires, stop by Les Schwab Tire Center. They have a sale going on right now. Also, if you need a loan, you need to refinance, get in touch with our friend Mitch at Mitch.Loans. And don't forget, if you need us, if you're buying, selling, investing, we're here to meet you on your real estate journey because we sell the sound. All right, for Ron, myself, Paul, who's been producing this show, and our good friend Alex. He's Ron. I'm Don. Find us on social media, Ron Upshaw, Don O'Neill, and he's Charlie the Dog. Here comes my son to take us out. Can you keep your head up and your shoulders back? We'll see you next time. You've been listening to Ron and Don Show on the Ron and Don Radio Network.
Now keep your head up and your shoulders back and keep blowing that trumpet, and we'll see you next time.
Only.
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 Only
on the Ron and Don Radio Network.
Thank you.